Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio. What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, the one who knows about the X and the O's.
And this is your man, Professor X-Factor, a.k.a. Angry Man. Please take out your textbooks, take a seat, and close your mouth, because class is in session.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me also introduce our other brother here at Locker Room Talk Radio, NYC's finest, is in the building, man. My man, exactly. Q Clifford is on the mic. What's up, Q?
What's going on?
Oh, okay. Thank you for tuning in to episode 46 of Locker Room Talk Radio, bringing you the real raw radio for the real sports fans. The number to call is 858-777-8433. Make sure when you call into the show, press 1 on your mobile device so you can be heard. Here at Locker Room Talk Radio, we like to open up each show with a segment called Dominant Athletes and Media News, or what we like to call it here at Locker Room Talk Radio, Damn. Now, let me just go ahead and dive right into it, man. We all know what we're about to talk about today, and everybody's going to say what they got to say. It's going to be a passionate segment. It's going to be, a lot of opinions. There's no right or wrong opinions here, the whole nine, and it's going to be some angry tones. It's going to be some undertones. It's going to be a lot of shit. I'm just letting all y'all know that now. And before all of that, I'm going to go ahead and go first and give my little take on the situation and then let my panel just go ahead and let it rip, pretty much. Everybody's talking about it. Colin Kaepernick, okay, his workout over the weekend on Saturday at school near Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not going to even read no damn story and nothing like that. I'm just going to go straight off the dome because we all know what the situation's about. But at the end of the day, let me just give you my take on it. I've got a couple of things that I want to say. There's a lot of things I can talk about, but like I said, this is only our show, and I want to get everybody's opinion, so I don't want to take up too much time. But I will say this. This is the one thing that I just want to put out there. At the end of the day, Colin Kaepernick has been done wrong by the National Football League. I could care less if he opted out of his contract, he didn't want to resign, or whatever the case may be. We all know what the hell this situation is. The thing that I am really, really fighting with, there's a lot of people out there saying that he messed up an opportunity to get back in the National Football League. Some people still stick with Cap, the whole nine. But I'm going to be honest with you. And like I said, whoever don't like my stance on that, I could give two fucks. I really could. And I'm still going to stand by it. So don't try to persuade me. Don't try to change my mind. Don't give me a slew of goddamn questions and all that other type of shit. I'm going to say this, and it's going to be that. I believe, whether right or wrong, corporate or not, that at the end of the day, Colin Kaepernick, he might have did some shit wrong. Maybe he went about it the wrong way. But I really believe that the NFL is upset because he did to them first what they were going to do to him. I really believe that. I believe that they were going to try to fuck him with this workout, and he just beat him to it. Case in point, just like, and we're going to talk about it too. I know it was Thursday night, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it here on Locker Room Talk Radio. And we're going to touch on that. Just like the Mason Rudolph incident. Mason Rudolph tried to pull Miles Garrett's helmet off. He failed. Miles Garrett succeeded. You mad because he succeeded for some shit that you tried to do. And that's how I think the NFL carried it. So, that's all I'm going to say on that. And like I said, there's a lot of things I could say, and I'm probably going to get in back and forth, not say back and forth with my panel, but I'm going to chime in every now and then, though. But I'm just going to go ahead and dive into it, man. Professor X Factor, your thoughts about what happened over the weekend, man. Colin Kaepernick's workout. Go ahead. You got the floor.
What you said is exactly what happened. When you tell somebody that the media is not allowed at the workout, it eliminates the ability for people to have a system of checks and balances in place. Because you can give him the workout, he can do the workout, and then you can just as easily say, hey, we let him work out, but he wasn't prepared, he didn't look good, we tried, but he's not ready. Without anybody being able to check you on what you claim. So then Colin Kaepernick moves the workout to a local high school, invites 250 members of the media on his own, and then does the workout. Chess, not checkers. Mad at Colin Kaepernick because he moved the workout. But nobody was upset when, you know, the NFL Combine is also a job of sorts. It's you bidding to offer your services to a company that would hire you as a contract. Okay? That's what it is, it's signed contract. So when they have an entire workout, Deion comes, runs the 40, walks out the building, and leaves. Nobody says a damn word.
I remember that.
You can't pick and choose who is and who isn't responsible for adhering to the quote-unquote rules of the workout. Like, you can't pick and choose. You know what I mean? He did it his way. It is what it is. You don't like it, I get it. I get that you don't like it, but suck it up. That's what it is. And he probably is going to get signed by somebody. So, yeah, there's that.
We got you. Let me get to my man over there, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get back to you, Professor. Executive, you have the floor, sir.
Colin Kaepernick proved beyond any doubt on Saturday that he belongs in the National Football League. During his hour-long workout on a high school football field in Riverdale, Georgia, Kaepernick did all the things that NFL personnel would expect to see from an elite caliber quarterback. He threw out routes on a rope, pinpointed slants to the post, connected on medium and long routes. Was he perfect? Nope. Show me a quarterback that is. Exactly. One scout on site bore witness and said he believed Kaepernick still had an elite arm, just as elite as when he was coming out of college.
Right.
This is not why Kaepernick proved he belongs in the league, though. On Saturday, he did exactly what my panel, Professor, and Coach alluded to. On Saturday, he showed the maturity and tactical acumen of an elite NFL field general. Kaepernick outmaneuvered the National Football League at their own game. No matter what the league had in mind, failed. Last week, the National Football League, accused by critics since 2016, almost 32 months, of blackballing Kaepernick, put together a hastily convened workout, and when I say convened, I mean National Football League convened, workout at the Atlanta Falcons training facility in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Notice that's
Come
not
on.
There.
Come on, son.
While the workout had all the trappings of being legitimate, with a whole bunch of low-level scouts in attendance because it's on a goddamn Saturday.
Come on, son.
Where all the important people are going to an actual game and preparing for an actual NFL game. Mm-hmm. It had the smell of a sham. No, ladies and gentlemen, not Thanksgiving ham, sham. Okay? The workout came out of the commissioner's office, but ain't mm-hmm. no team asked for this shit.
mm-hmm.
Ain't no team asked for a workout in 3 years. Why mm-hmm. now? Our commissioner? Why now, commission? Mm-hmm. No media would be allowed to watch the workout? Hold up. Kaepernick's team would not be allowed to videotape it? Pause.
Mm.
The NFL would be judge, jury, and if Kaepernick allowed it, executioner.
Executioner, absolutely.
The league would videotape the workout. The league would distribute it to 32 teams. The league would conduct the interview. The league would determine the drills. The league would then determine Kaepernick's NFL readiness or worthiness. Invariably, word would leak out about the myriad deficiencies in Russ Kaepernick's workout reveal. But the NFL, as it often does, would try to determine the narrative. And Kaepernick took back control at the last minute. At the very last minute. Do you know what the title of my story is called?
Was
Kaepernick, the quarterback who called an audible. The quarterback called an audible. Excuse me, you don't got a problem when Rodgers do it. You ain't got a problem with Omaha. You ain't got a problem. You ain't got a problem with Brady. When the Brady once calls an audible, ain't no issue. Oh, but Kaepernick, the lowly wolf quarterback, called an audible at the last second on the line of scrimmage on the field. He canceled that shit at Flowery Branch. And where did he take it? No, he didn't just take it to a high school. He took it to Dr. Charles Richard Drew, the first African-American black doctor transfusionist.
Well.
See, you got to learn your history. He didn't just go to any high school. He went to a black history high school. It was an hour away, but guess what? Y'all drive an hour away for some That's for another topic. But that's
come
not
on,
the point.
Come on, son.
So miss me with the, it was too far. It was too,
right.
too far for who?
Right.
Okay. Y'all will drive that far to find your Lord and Taylor in Bloomingdale. Won't you? Won't you? Exactly. So I don't want to hear about the plans changing at the last minute, so that's why we couldn't show up. Okay, this wasn't some hastily drawn up play in the sand on the playground. No, this was shrewd, well organized. It was a move that took everybody by surprise. You know, everybody that wasn't in on it from the beginning with Kaepernick playing behind the scenes.
Right.
Okay, but it's an audible that caught the NFL napping and caught the rest of us clapping. Yes, it did. The workout was executed with efficiency and coordination, and by the time the media had shifted from the Falcons training facility to the high school, Kaepernick security was already in place. How do I know this? Because I got people too, motherfucker. And they were there. There was security at the entrance of the high school. They was checking off names. They was checking bags. Does that sound like somebody that just didn't know what the hell they was doing? Or does it sound like, as Professor said, somebody that's mad that it got done to them first. You see what I'm saying? Security was at the entrance on the field lined up for the media. They was checking personnel through. They was allowing the camera crews through. They had the fans lined up. Kaepernick was able to show out in front of all the cameras. He was able to do autographs, and he was still able to do the workout.
Right.
And y'all seen some of the tape. I hope you did. If you did, you see it. Some of them deep balls looked like half the league was praying they would be his quarterback.
Right.
Now, I have it on I have it on good authority that had Kaepernick shown up to an NFL sanctioned workout and shown what he showed, in addition to answering certain questions, there were two teams, if they lost on Sunday, that would have contacted Kaepernick for his services by Thanksgiving.
Come on, son, let us know.
Chicago, one of them.
Both of those teams actually still lost on Sunday. And
one
both
of Chicago.
Those teams were ready to call Colin. They still might, but It's a little bit different now because of the extra controversy. The first team that was getting ready to be on the phone was the Carolina Panthers, who happened to be one of the first teams to arrive on Saturday with Eric Reed and Cam Newton in support. Both supporting his workout and his move to Carolina, signing with the Panthers and the new owners. The other team just so happened to be Chicago Bears. And this was Mitchell Trubisky's, and please, ladies and gentlemen, ain't nothing wrong with that man hip.
Exactly.
He got pulled on the field, and you see, Nagy pulled the McAdoo. He pulled the quarterback without confirmation from the top. So the top decided to send out tweets in the middle of the game saying that Trubisky had a hip issue. Wait, hold on. First of all, when things been issues and not injuries? I thought issues were social and politics. So he got a hip issue? like he arguing with his hip? What's the issue? Hip issue? Okay. They said hip. You know why? Because hip happened to be relevant because Tua's out with a hip issue. So they decided to just go with hip because everybody's going to believe hip right now because Tua's out with his hip. That's what happened. They didn't want to go with turf toe because Trubisky was walking fine. They couldn't make it an arm injury because Trubisky was holding fine. So they was like, oh, I will call it a hip shit. They couldn't call it a head because then they couldn't say his head because then he'd have to go on the concussion protocol. So what did they do?
Right.
They went with the middle abdomen. Make it a hip issue. Yeah, that works. Tweet.
Got you.
So ladies and gentlemen, moral of the story is this. The NFL won because they get to say, hey, we tried.
Yep.
Kaepernick won because Kaepernick got to say, hey, you tried, but you failed at me getting to be a monkey and monkey see, monkey do. So Kaepernick is still the people's champ. The only people that failed are the actual people. The people that wanted to see Kaepernick on an NFL roster again as soon as possible. The people that wanted to see Kaepernick back in the league. The people that wanted to see Kaepernick hold up a Lombardi. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I leave you with this. If you're looking for somebody to make a comeback that has been out and needed another chance, an opportunity to add champion to their resume and end their career on a positive note, I redirect you to Carmelo Anthony.
I got you.
That is all.
Professor, is there anything else that you would like to add? Because there's something else I wanted to bring out to the forefront, though. But is there anything else that you wanted to say before
nope.
I do that?
Nope.
Okay. This is a couple of things that I wanted to and the reason why, like I said before, I wanted to go first because I wanted y'all to go ahead and, you know, do your thing. But at the same time, while I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it, while Q's talking and while you're talking, you know, I got to express my frustrations. I have to say this. This is not a political show. We usually don't do that. Now, we touch on certain political things when it pertains to sports. However, in this case, I'm not going to try to turn this show into CNN. But I have to say that I'm very disappointed. Me being as an African-American male, I'm very disappointed in our people today. And let me tell you why. And let me tell you why I'm bringing this up. For years, we've been on the Kaepernick train. Get him in the league. And I still am on a train. I'm still on that train. Get him in the league. He deserves to be in the league. Once again, like I said before, I could care less if he opted out of his contract, all that. People not try to use that. I don't give a fuck about none of that. That means nothing to me. He still deserves. He could opt out of his contract and still get a job if he chooses to. Why? Because he didn't break any laws. Now, with that being said, the reason why I say that I'm very disappointed in our people today, and for those that don't know what I'm talking about black people. The reason why is because today on social media, I've seen so many black people trash this dude today. I mean, they just was like, man, this pretty much this is what I got out of it. The man gave you an opportunity, and you didn't take it. The foolishness around here. Why would you not please Massa by going to the combine? That's what I saw today. That's exactly what I saw today. And at the end of the day, my thing is this. Could he have done it different? Maybe. Maybe. And then on top of that, the 28 teams that went there to go see him, I don't know how many left, 17, 16, I could give two dams. I don't care. But
25,
just like
25
you,
teams.
Okay, just like you said. Okay, it's an hour away. Eight of them showed up. Your ass could have been there, too. You know why you didn't go there? Because you didn't want to be there in the first damn place. That's why. That was your out. That was your out to get the hell out of here. Oh, this motherfucker gave me an out. I'm going to take it. And that's what they did. Because they didn't want to see his ass there anyway. So, now, also, at the end of the day.
Well, before you go on, let me comment on that.
Come on.
Okay. Now, in no way, shape, or form, am I defending anyone. Why? Because I don't care. However,
gotcha.
What I am doing is explaining.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
32 teams in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Seven teams did not show up. Okay.
Okay.
One of them, right. The Dallas Cowboys. I don't know why I said that. I just did. Shut up. Okay. So,
okay.
One of the teams there was also the San Francisco 49ers. So it shows you how shit can come full circle.
Come on, son.
Okay. Eight teams made the trip from to Riverdale after going to the Atlanta facility. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves us with 17. One team didn't have to travel at all. That's the Atlanta Falcons. That leaves you with 16. Now, so let's only focus. So that means half the league. Let's only focus on that on those 16 teams. Now,
okay.
The Atlanta Falcons, I give a pass to because I don't give a damn who any of y'all are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if Coach Gary Ward asked me to host a party for Professor X, and none of y'all show up for whatever reason, all y'all can kiss my ass. I'm playing this up. All y'all can kiss my ass because I did a lot of this shit, and I look like a fool, okay? So the Atlanta Falcons can be canceled out just because Kaepernick relocated. Okay, boom. Okay, so we're on 16 teams. Of those 16 teams, okay, half of them, at least half of them, already had plane tickets and departure times because it was a Saturday to get back to their respective teams for their respective games on Sunday.
Okay. That's
so so the hour travel time is an hour lost in the day, not because it was an hour away. So
okay.
Because it's not starting till 4, that means it's not ending till 5, and they got to be on the plane at 6, and they're not flying private, so you need more than 60 minutes to go through your airport situation. So I want you to redirect that anger away from the franchises and back to Goodell, because that was the whole point of scheduling on a Saturday in the first damn place, so that it would be a conflict of scheduling and itinerary for anybody to want to come. Because those scouts
don't even typically go to the NFL games. They're at college games all day Saturday scouting upcoming new NFL talent.
Well, you see, the other thing is this. People are going to leave you to believe that only scouts were there. There were scouts there in the stands in the audience, but in the skybox, hidden behind glass where media couldn't see them, in the Falcons facility were some general managers, some player executives, some personnel executives, and they were there. They were there. The scouts were on the field, but other representatives of those same franchises were there hidden. So that's what I'm telling you. People want Kaepernick back. They just, nobody wanted to be the first one to say, hey, come in, we'll give you a chance.
I got you. Mm-hmm. I got you.
So
I got you.
This workout was an opportunity for everybody to be like, okay, well, you're going, we're all going. Cool.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? It's like fat kid at camp. All y'all fat, it's fat camp. But nobody wants to order the pizza, but all y'all hungry. So nobody wants to. You understand? You feel me? However, if one person getting ready, if one person bold enough to dial the number, then the other person is bold enough to grab the phone and be like, yeah, let me get 4 meat lovers, large, deep dish, extra cheese with black olives on half and crushed red pepper. Y'all want something?
I got you know what, dude? Let me stop you right there. And I got your point. And I definitely understand exactly where you came from. And I'll get to you in a minute, Professor. But at the end of the day, my thing is this. And I can admit I didn't see that part. And that does, now me understanding that, you know, I can take that into consideration. But my thing is, just like you said earlier, Executive, you know, the scouts that they sent there weren't top scouts anyway. So at the end of the day, and I got it, they had itinerary and all that good shit. I got that. But at the end of the day, my thing is this. If you really want to see something, you really can make it happen. You know what I mean? If you really wanted to. So with that being said, the reason why I wanted to get back to what me and Professor was talking about also was all over social media. And then I'm going to give it to, the ball to you, Professor. All over social media, they keep going back to this one game that Cap had 4 interceptions on. They keep posting this shit all over the place on Facebook, on Instagram, the whole nine. This is the reason why he's not signed. This is the reason why he's not signed. Now, me and Professor did a little bit of digging. And guess what? There's a lot of Hall of Famers who had 4 interceptions in one game. There's some that had 5, some had 6. So
one had 8.
Yep, that narrative to me, you know what I'm saying? You can keep that. You can keep that, and you can miss me with all that. But, Professor, what was it that you was trying to say? Go ahead. You have the floor.
So here's the thing, right? You know, just piggybacking off of what you were saying about being disappointed in our people. I will be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to try to mix words or clean this shit up or nothing. There was a stretch of time where I honestly did not want Colin Kaepernick to get another opportunity. Not because I didn't want to see him in the league, but because I knew that the equivalency of Colin Kaepernick getting another opportunity was the exact same thing as saying, come on, everybody, let's wait for Whitey to give us a handout.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
Because I shouldn't have to beg, borrow, and plead to play in your league when athletically I've already proven I belong there. I proved I belong there more so than Gardner fucking Minshew, and I don't even dislike Gardner Minshew.
Right.
But Gardner Minshew was there. You went out, you went and found and signed an Arena League quarterback to keep from Colin Kaepernick. Arena League where receivers are allowed to get a running head start.
Come on. Come on,
and the
son.
Field is only 50 fucking yards long.
Come
Arena
on,
League. Where you can be tackled by a fucking wall. Arena League.
Oh, man.
Now,
yeah.
People act like they're confused about this issue. There's nothing to be confused about. It's the same damn thing as it was years ago. Oh, he's too short to play quarterback. Doug Flutie, 5'9". At some point, I need some sensible white people that actually have a brain to stop trying to minimize the racist element of this issue and call this shit for what the fuck it is. The NFL is doing the same thing to Colin Kaepernick that the NBA's Denver Nuggets did to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, formerly known as Chris Action Jackson. Doing
Come
the
on.
Same shit.
Come on.
So for those people that say they're going to boycott the NFL, make sure you boycott the goddamn NBA too. Do that too. Stephen A. Smith, I'm about sick of your shit. I'm sick of your shit. Because it is apparent to me that you will say anything as long as it means it'll put money in your pocket. Whether it's the truth or not. So I'm going to need you to sit your Uncle Ruckus ass down somewhere. And if Colin Kaepernick gets signed, your black ass better not call him for no interview. Like you think you deserve an exclusive. Fuck you, Stephen A. Smith. I mean that shit with every ounce of the black pit of my soul. You better not crack your crusty lips and receding hairline to ask that man for no fucking exclusive. If anybody should get that exclusive, it should be Max fucking Kellerman.
Boy, man, what? What?
Because Stephen A. Smith, I got news for you. You are coming dangerously close to being uninvited to the goddamn cookout. Take your ass over there with your friends and eat potato salad with raisins in it. Because you fucking up.
And them candy yams with the marshmallow on top.
Carry your ass with that dumb shit. Stop with the dumb shit. If the man, right. The man is trying to get something accomplished, and people don't look. That's, I think, the problem that a lot of athletes have with media personnel,
mm-hmm.
is that media personnel, they don't take into consideration just how influential what they say is to the powers that be that make the decisions to determine an athlete's future. Stephen A. Smith, you make yourself and put yourself in a position where if I was a professional athlete, I would punch you in your shit.
Hey, Professor, hold that.
Punch you dead in your shit.
Hold that thought, man. You got to call him, man. Call
God damn it.
Whatever you're called. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from?
You know what it is. It's Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Hey, Bryce from Brooklyn. What's going on, son? How you feeling?
G and the infamous Professor. What's the good word?
The chiller. Man.
What's cracking shit?
Hey, we got executive on the line too, man. Just to let you know.
Nah,
that's
negative. Okay.
He
indirectly said fuck me. So I got something for him. Jose?
Here we go. We starting already.
He calling in from Brooklyn, nigga. I'm in Brooklyn. What's up?
we starting already. Yo. Good to see everyone. Good to hear everyone tonight. Good to hear everyone.
Oh, okay, Change that freestyle. I see you.
Go ahead, Bryce. You got the floor, man. What's your take on this whole entire Colin Kaepernick thing? Before you go there, I'm glad that you called. Because guess what? We want to talk about your game as well. We still got a half hour left, but we're going to talk about your
game.
We are going to touch on that. So, But the Colin Kaepernick thing, you have the floor, Bryce.
Bryce, don't fuck around and get uninvited to the cookout.
Stephen A. for president. No. Now, you know what?
Bryce going to show up to the cookout and say, we're the line. We're going to say right there on Stephen A. head. That's where
We like to clown around, but nah. I mean, the little bit I heard when I called in, I'm definitely 100% with the Professor. I know, right? Dag, I hate to have to even amend it a little bit. I come at it from a different angle, fellas, and maybe this might be just a personal thing. I'm not so sure a lot of these people actually don't know the influence they have. I think they do know the influence they have. And I think Colin Kaepernick, particularly for older black men, a conversation amongst ourselves, I think a lot of us have been affected with that, like, do anything to make money, respectability politics type of attitude, where someone coming up younger that'll thumb their nose at that and stand on their principle, like, we feel they're not getting with the program. Like, one of the things that I watched today, and yeah, shout out to Max Kellerman, was, the people on that panel, Damian Woody, Stephen A. Smith, even Michael Eric Dyson, who I think very intelligent guy, but I had to disagree with him. I think a lot of times the people that took Colin Kaepernick's stance in the past that had that same mentality, like, this is the principle and I'm going to ride on it, that's the very reason why they could sit there and make the money they make. The people shed their blood in the ground and was willing to stand on what was right.
Bill Russell, the guys like Jim Brown and Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and that's why you're able to even do what the fuck you do. That's why.
Well, no. I mean, yes. I'm saying them, but no. I'm taking it a little deeper. I'm saying the people that actually fought for the rights that black folks have here, they stood on the same principle that Colin Kaepernick is willing to stand on and give up stuff. And a lot of them gave up their lives so people can sit here and take on, get $8 million contracts and have platforms where they can actually not be discriminated against. I mean, so for them to come out on one breath and say, you know, Colin Kaepernick, we heard you, but what's your plan and what are you going to do moving forward? And you need to get with the program. Don't understand that the people that weren't willing to get with the program and actually shed their blood in their lives, that's why people can actually sit and actually say that. And that's what I find so disingenuous about them.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's
a clown.
Yeah, because like Professor said, man, you know, don't not get invited to the cookout. But one thing I have to say, and I did see a little bit of First Take this morning, you know what I'm saying? My thing is this, and I don't want to misquote Stephen A. or anything like that, but I kind of understood what he meant by saying this. And this is the only thing that I understood what he was saying. He said, look, you know the rules are against you anyway. You know what I'm saying? Don't add fuel to the fire. I do agree with that somewhat. However, the problem that I have with that is that don't make that the end-all be-all. Also acknowledge how wrong he's being done. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just stay on that side and not acknowledge this side. That's why I was getting pissed off. You see what I mean? Because he's right to a degree. You can't, you know what I'm saying? You can't tell the interviewer, you know what I'm saying, how you going to conduct the interview. You know what I'm saying? However, we all know the underlying bullshit that's coming with all this, with this entire scenario. That's why us here on this show, we understood why Cap did what he did. Just like Executive said and Professor said, all Cap did was do to you what you were about to do to him. You mad because he beat you to the punch. That's all that was.
Yeah, and Max Kellerman said it best, and I love the phrase he used. He was like, you know what this is about? It wasn't about if he can play. We all know he can play. It's about, are you still as uppity as you come across? Are you going to fall in line, boy? And that's exactly what it was about. So to that point, Stephen A. Smith saying, well, the interview has its rules, that got circumvented the moment you started to look deeper into the whole way this came about. With that with that garbage waiver they tried to make him sign, this wasn't about no interview. This is about getting him to capitulate to them. So therefore, that little rule you tried to come up with don't even make no sense. They even notified him
at the last damn minute of the workout. You know what I mean? They notified him at the last damn minute.
It's a joke because the NFL is really with black people, but also just labor in general. They have a very antagonistic way of treating their labor force. It's like, you work for us, you do what we say, or you won't be here. And that's the way they deal with people, particularly dealing with black athletes. That's the way they do it. And it comes across as extremely tone deaf, and they don't care. And he was like, nah, man, this ain't making no sense. I'm not signing this waiver. It wasn't legitimate to begin with. So all that, you got to follow the rules. What rules? They've already colluded against him and committed a crime. They know they did that. What Stephen A. Smith is doing on the air and these other people, it's like a disinformation campaign. They can't get their facts right. They're on some feeling and emotion and what they feel is their principle, but it's not factual. Max Kellerman had the facts. That's why you can't dispute him.
I'm waiting to see if the NFL has a coach of the same mindset and energy as a Greg Popovich that is not afraid to call it like the fuck
that's
it
a good
is.
Point. That's
and
a
right
good point.
Now, it ain't just a lot of the players that look like some punk ass bitches. It's a lot of you coaches that look like some scared ass bitches.
There was a time where there was a time where half the league was full of coaches that didn't give a damn about your opinion.
Yeah,
take your time.
And there's only three, maybe four coaches I can see currently coaching and not on the hot seat. Currently coaching and not on the hot seat. Because when you're on the hot seat, then I don't look at that as a decision. I look at that as a Hail Mary. Oh, shit, I'm about to be fired. Call Kaepernick. That don't count.
Yeah, because now you're starting to coach. You're coaching not to lose your job, but not necessarily coaching to win games.
Right. Correct. So, you know, you feel like, you know, it's a win-win. You get to look like, you know, Captain Save Him, because you're the one that took a chance on Kaepernick, and if he saves you, then you save the season, blah, blah, blah. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about three, maybe four coaches that I see willing to not give a damn about other people's opinion. And one would be Pete Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One might be Matt Patricia.
Mike Tomlin needs to sign. The Steelers need to sign him.
Okay.
One might be Matt Patricia.
Okay.
Okay. I also see one being Sean McVay. He's just not in a situation that would need Kaepernick.
Okay.
But I see him young enough, with a resume enough to be able to say that and not have to worry about his job in any way, shape, or form. And then the other one, I just lost. So you got to come back to me. I just lost who the other coach might be. Shit.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
Oh, whoa. First of all, Belichick would do it, and wouldn't nobody say shit?
Nothing. Not a word.
However, the reason I didn't say Belichick is because if Belichick did it, it would purely be for football.
Yep.
It wouldn't be the support. It wouldn't be because it's the right thing to do. It wouldn't be to give him a chance. It would be because it's a football decision.
Gotcha. But that's all we've been asking for.
That's it. From the beginning.
Give him a chance, yep. not because you think it's the right thing to do, but because you know he is capable.
There you go.
That's why the whole argument from the other side of the table has always been, well, he's not a good quarterback. So you mean to tell me Colin Kaepernick's not a good quarterback, but he led a team to the Super Bowl, so I guess
wait,
in your
wait,
mind,
I'm sorry.
What, Trent?
I'm sorry.
Trent Dilfer is a good quarterback?
I remember who it is. It's John Gruden.
Oh,
okay.
John Gruden don't give a shit. Okay.
He don't give a shit.
And they've pretty much given him the keys. They gave him the keys to that car in Oakland.
Well, let me do this, gentlemen. And like I said, I'm pretty sure we're going to visit this topic again, though, but it's 7:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Locker Room Talk Radio, 858-777-8433 is the number to call. Tell your peoples, man, to listen to the show, man, because we're very deep in conversation here. But I got my man Bryce from Brooklyn on the line, and I got to get to this story. Last Thursday night was a Thursday night brawl, man, between Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. Now, a lot of people on this situation, I know it's old news, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it, so that's what we're going to do. And we got a Steeler fan on the show. So, at the end of the day, for those that don't know the situation, I'm going to go ahead and run it down to you. There was a play that Myles Garrett tackled Mason Rudolph to the ground. Some say that he drove him to the ground. Some disagree with that. However, at the end of the day, he rolls him over, and Mason Rudolph attempts to take off Myles Garrett's helmet. He loses. He does not succeed. He fails. So Myles Garrett takes his helmet off, and he succeeds. Okay? Two offensive linemen from the Pittsburgh Steelers, they pull Myles Garrett off of Mason Rudolph. They pretty much got him contained. Myles Garrett was not trying to charge Mason Rudolph. Wasn't trying to go at him. They was pushing him back. Mason Rudolph has no helmet now. Mason Rudolph decides, because now he's angry, and whatever, he may have the right to be angry or whatever, but he charges Myles Garrett, and Myles Garrett does the unthinkable and swings Mason Rudolph's helmet and hits him on top of the head. Now, at the end of the day, Myles Garrett is suspended for the rest of the season. They don't know how long. It could roll over to next season. A couple other players got suspended. Marquise Pouncey got suspended for 3 games because after Myles Garrett hit Mason Rudolph, he took him down to the ground. He stepped on his head. He kicked him like pretty much like on the street, like pretty much like jumped him. Okay? So, with that being said,
pretty much like Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. So, with that being said, a lot of people are saying that Myles Garrett should never play again, which I don't understand that shit. That's just taking it too damn far. But there's people that say he should never play again. There's people that say that Myles Garrett is justified for being suspended. I am one of them. He's justified for being suspended. However, my problem is with Mason Rudolph gets a fine, that's too damn light for me. Because at the end of the day, you would not got hit with a goddamn helmet if you did not charge this dude that was holding your goddamn helmet. So, with that being said, I want to go to Bryce. Bryce, you tell me, with that Monday, I mean that Thursday night melee, what's your thoughts on it? Did they get it right?
I thought, did they get it right? I thought Larry Ogunjobi or whatever he did, whatever his last name is, I can't even remember it. I thought he should have got two games. I thought they got a Pouncey to definitely appeal. And Pouncey was just reacting to a dude who tried to hit another guy in the head with a helmet who didn't have a helmet on.
Okay.
So whether he keeps his three games, you know, I'm not sure. Myles Garrett, that's right. They should have suspended him for the whole season. Mm-hmm. The Mason Rudolph situation, two things. One, I'm actually glad and sensitive to the fact that people, because of the optics and all this nonsense about saying Myles Garrett should be arrested and all that, and just the optics of what we call white innocence. I'm glad people want to put some highlight on him, but I could do that. But I could do that without switching up the facts. The facts are none of this starts if Myles Garrett does not tackle Mason Rudolph to the ground well after the ball is out and the play is over and you got the win and it's 10 seconds left. So he eventually started all of that. When he tackled him to the ground and then Mason scuffles with him and then it continues to escalate and then he takes and hits a guy with a helmet. So, no, should Mason, is Mason Rudolph completely innocent in the fact that he kept it going? No. But did he deserve to get hit in the head with a helmet? What is this dude going to do to you when you got two offensive linemen surrounded by you? Myles Garrett lost control on something that he initially started because he tackled a guy, the quarterback no less, after the game was already won, and he tackled him late, and he shouldn't have done that. So I'm not looking at Mason Rudolph as, well, you know, he instigated. No, he didn't. That's just not factual. If you wanted him to get suspended, he didn't throw any punches. He didn't physically lay his hands on somebody.
Hold on. Go ahead, Bryce, because I know where everybody else is going. But go ahead, Bryce. Go ahead.
I don't believe he should have been suspended, but he should be fined for being a part of the fight. But suspended? No, I don't believe so. So they got that right.
Okay, now hold that thought, Bryce, because I know when I heard somebody say who, because guess what? Whoever said that, I'm with you.
That's
so now,
me. Come on. Send it my way.
You got the floor, baby. Go ahead, man. You got the floor. Then we get to you, Professor.
Oh, right. Okay. Hello.
Come on, son.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
First of all, my words that are about to come out of my mouth are not directed towards anybody that it does not apply to. However, if you have never shot a gun, I'm less likely to take your opinion on it. If you've never driven a car, I'm less likely to listen to your instructions. And if you have never been a defensive end pass rushing a quarterback, I am highly unlikely to listen to your perception of what to do, what not to do, or how that individual feels in that moment.
Okay.
Now, I say all that to say this. I have pass rushed the quarterback. I've blocked for them. If they got on my nerves, sometimes I let that block go. But I've also... but I've also pass rushed the quarterback. Now, when you are 250 to 320 pounds, you know, the average weight of a defensive lineman in the National Football League, three things happen. Number one, we're trained to go, okay? You are talking about a first overall pick, specimen of an athlete, that once he starts, it is harder to stop. That's number one. Number two. He's coming from one direction where the football was knocked and hitting the quarterback on the opposite side of where the quarterback was throwing the ball. With my head down and peripheral vision blocked by the helmet that I am wearing, I cannot see at all times on all plays that a ball of that small nuance has been released from your hand. If, in the small case, and sometimes I do see the ball gone, it is still inevitably hard for me to stop all of this weight and all of this force
that has already pursued you from not hitting you.
Mm.
That's that point. The mm-hmm. next point, okay? Seems like people fucking forgot that Mason Rudolph was kicking people in the nuts.
Come on, son. Come on, son.
It seems like that elegant part of the video replay has been remissed in people's fucking perception of what should be done, what shouldn't be done, and who should be at fault for shit. Now, I'm going to leave it with this only because I want Professor to say. I'm going to leave it with this. Okay? What I'm tired of is y'all motherfuckers. Now, pretend you see Eddie Murphy doing them two little fingers with his ass.
Come on, son.
What I'm tired of is y'all motherfuckers out there in the world always want the consequences to be on the person that's reacting. And never the person that began the shit. So don't get mad at me that you came up to me and in a joking way took two of your fingers and plucked me in my shoulder. And my reaction to that was chin-checking the shit out of you, throwing a tiger uppercutting you on the fucking floor.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You should have never plucked me with your little two pinky-ass fucking fingers.
Got you.
Plain and simple.
Got
fuck
you.
Out of here.
Professor, you got the last part of it, man. 7:51 p.m., Professor, you got the floor, man. Shh. Go ahead. Let it rip.
Okay. So
yeah, let me mute myself.
I believe personally that Bryce and another Steelers fan that will go nameless are intelligent people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've had conversations with Bryce before. I've had disagreements with Bryce before. However, this is a little bit of a different thing because this is the admission that you saw something completely different than what everyone else who is not a Steelers fan saw in the exact same replay footage. I don't know how all of a sudden the person goes conveniently blind, but this is apparently what the fuck has occurred. So let me see if I can shed some light on the situation for you. First thing I need you to do when you go look at that replay, I want you to pull out a stopwatch, and I want you to hit the stopwatch when Mason Rudolph releases the ball and then hit it again when Myles Garrett hits him. And then look at how much time transpired between. Because I'm tired of people painting this shit like, the ball was long gone. No, the fuck it was not.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. Matter of fact, at the time that the ball gets released, Myles Garrett's head is already at chest level. His head has already turned to the goddamn right-hand side. Now, if Myles Garrett has his head turned to the right, he's looking at Mason Rudolph's left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Rudolph is right-handed last time I checked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't see the ball. The second point I want to make is this. Another thing I'm tired of. Stop talking about this shit like Myles Garrett jackknife powerbombed this motherfucker on the field.
I'm with you on that one.
Fucking stop talking about Mason Rudolph like he is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white girl that Kareem Hunt kicked in the ass in the hallway. Stop. Stop. I'm telling you, you're making yourselves sound like the bias of your fandemonium is making you all sound like absolute jackasses. Stop. Stop now while there's still time for you. Please, I beg of you. And when you get to the ground, I'm going to tell you what happened. Your boy Mason Rudolph was frustrated as shit. You done thrown four interceptions to the punk-ass Cleveland Browns, and then you want to take your frustration out. But don't tell me that because the game is already won that everybody on the field should just stop fucking playing. The devil is a lie. You play till the goddamn whistle blows. You played football before, Bryson. Sure you have. You're too much of a fan not to have played the dance before. You know damn well you don't stop playing before the whistle blows just because you up by 35. You're trying to wear them motherfuckers out until the final buzzer of the game. Period. Period.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Myles Garrett and I see opportunity to get another damn sack that gets me closer to my bonus on my contract, you goddamn right I'm going to take it. I don't give a shit if the quarterback's name is Mason Rudolph or Jesus the Christ himself. I'm knocking the stick in the dirt. So all of these, and then when you get to the ground, Mason Rudolph gets mad, and I know you saw Mason Rudolph twisting Myles Garrett's helmet, but somehow in everybody's mind, Mason Rudolph doing that doesn't warrant a reaction. Now, I'm going to tell you why Myles Garrett swung that goddamn helmet, and I'm going to tell you why I would have done the same shit. You got two damn near 300-pound offensive linemen holding me and a third motherfucker in Mason Rudolph charging at me. Yeah, you damn right. At that point, I am outnumbered. I'm swinging whatever the fuck I got in my goddamn hand. Case closed.
But
then as soon as Mason Rudolph gets hit, Mason Rudolph then turns around and plays the innocent white boy card. Oh, he hit me with a helmet. Motherfucker, do you think that the cameras didn't catch the shit that you did?
Come on, son. Come on, son. You know, check this out,
y'all,
man.
And then y'all bought it hook, line, and sinker. I'm ashamed of you.
Right.
I'm ashamed of you.
I'm going to tell you like this, man. Anybody that's listening, my thing is this, and I'm going to say it again. Myles Garrett was dead wrong because he could have killed him. He could have killed him. I'm not going to sit here and say that Myles Garrett was not wrong. He was definitely wrong, and he should have got the worst punishment out of everybody. So let's put that out there on the table. Now, with that being said, my thing is this. The NFL is so quick to talk about player safety and all that good shit, right? When your helmet came off your head, Mason Rudolph, you didn't think of player safety. You know what you did? You saw two of your boys over there holding this dude, so you figured you could get another shot in. Because I guarantee you, if they didn't hold Myles Garrett, you wouldn't went over there to Myles Garrett. If there was nobody between the both of you, you would not have done that. That's number one. Number two, if you are the quarterback and you are the leader of the team, you know what you do? Because everybody's so quick to talk about professionalism. Myles Garrett should have been more professional, blah, 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 and that he should have been. But guess what? Mason Rudolph, you should have been more professional about your own goddamn safety as well. I don't have a helmet. Let me take my ass to the goddamn sideline. You didn't do that. What you did is you didn't let the shit go, and you went over there and you rushed this dude, and you got your right hand on his shoulder pad, and because now you got this work, you want to turn around and look at the ref and say, look at what he did to me. Nah. I'm not saying it's right, but goddammit, you wouldn't have got hit if you wasn't there. That's my biggest thing.
Hey.
And everybody
can't bite you if you ain't within striking.
If you ain't there. So now, this is this is what happens. Because I just said all of that, a lot of people will say, you're defending Myles Garrett. No, that's not what I'm doing. So don't sit there and play that damn game with me. What I'm saying to you is that it's always convenient when the guy who should have been professional right along with Myles Garrett, he wasn't, and he caught the end of the shit that he was trying to give out. Once again,
I'm going to tell y'all exactly what Gary Ward is saying. I'm going to put it in stupid fan terms. Let me go ahead and put it in dummy terms. What Gary Ward is saying to y'all, ignorant ass motherfuckers, is what he's saying is this. If that was Tom Brady. Tom Brady would have looked at the referees and said, where's the flag?
Come on.
If that was Russell Wilson.
Come on.
Russell Wilson would have got up and said, nice hit. I'm praying.
All the time.
I'm praying for you.
Don't nobody know that. You can't. That's conjecture. You don't know that.
If Philip Rivers was the one that got hit, Philip would have got up and did something similar to what Mason Rudolph did, because I know that motherfucker, he kind of stupid, he's a little crazy too. However, he would have said it while going backwards towards his teammates, not forward towards Myles Garrett. If that was Eli Manning that got the hit, Eli would have stayed on the ground. See, this is what professionals do, ladies and gentlemen. This is what Super Bowl champions do. But wait a second. Notice how I said Philip Rivers is the one that would be a little crazy and stupid? He's the only one not a Super Bowl champion. So, ladies and gentlemen, take note. Take note at what a professional winner does. A professional winner allows his offensive linemen to handle that. Like every game, every year, every season. When a quarterback gets hit, you allow your offensive linemen to handle that.
You know what? I'm glad you actually said that, because that's exactly why Matt Filer the right tackle after Mason was tackled well after the ball was gone, threw his hands up to the ref. Where's the flag? Because he refed it. Watch the film. That's exactly why he did it. So it's right there. So any other idea that it wasn't like that is just anti-fact.
No. That's what the quarterback is supposed to do. That's what the quarterback is supposed to do.
No, you just said that your offensive lineman handled it. That's exactly what the lineman did.
Go handle Garrett. That's what I said. You're mishearing it, just like you miswatched the replay.
They did. And that's why I said Pouncey should have got three games. They did.
You're still mishearing it. Nobody's talking about what Pouncey should get. The topic is Mason Rudolph. See how you're redirecting it like a politician?
Are they not offensive linemen?
Are they offensive linemen? We are talking about the quarterback.
You said they should have done.
No matter what comes out of your mouth, unless the words are Rudolph and fucking Mason, you're wrong. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about anything else. So if you say anything else that does not have the words quarterback, Mason, or Rudolph, you are not talking about the same thing. I just want to let you know.
What he was saying is that Mason Rudolph should let the lineman take care of it, and he should have done nothing. That's what he was saying. He should have done nothing. But since he
as I said, the moment he got tackled to the ground late, there was an offensive lineman right there pleading with the ref. Where is the flag? Because it was late. And that's what instigated the whole thing.
And that has nothing to do with Mason Rudolph for the third time.
Right. Yeah, we got that. And that's true. I got that.
No. You got that. So then anything after that, well, that's not what happened. It's not that. Because he was tackled late, which is why he was playing. He had no case to make if you think he instigated it.
Hey, Professor, is Bryce related to John?
Hold on, Bryce. Hold on. First of all, I just want to let everybody know that whoever's on the line listening right now, we're a few minutes past our time. But I'm going to say this to you, Bryce. That's not what we were saying. What we're saying is this. Okay, there have been players who've gotten done wrong. For example, and I said it, I don't think he got drove into the ground, but you think he did. Okay? Let's just say that
he got tackled late.
Okay, that's fine. But he got tackled late. But he's not the first quarterback to get tackled late. Okay, so that's number one. Okay, even if it's true or false, I don't care. The fact of the matter is he's not the first, and he won't be the last quarterback to get tackled late. That's number one. Number two, even with quarterbacks that got tackled, didn't do what the fifth move did. A lot of them I didn't see do what he did. And even if they were to argue with
a lot of them I have. That's not true. A lot of them I have, G. I got to disagree with you.
Wait a minute. What I'm saying is this. They argue. They even may tussle. I got that. But once the fight was over and they split them two up, that should have been it. That's the point that I'm trying to make. That should have been it. And your boy didn't do that. Who took
and
this
and he, I already said, when I already talked, see, now you're not listening because I already said he helped fan the flames by running back over there. I already said that. I said he should not be suspended for that. And so no, y'all talking in circles. I've already agreed to that.
I'm not talking in circles. Go ahead.
Should he be suspended for trying to twist Myles Garrett's helmet off, or did you not see that as well?
He's going to say no. Of course not.
No, because when he tackled him late, he was trying to get him off. He scuffled with
him.
They was having a scuffle on the ground. No, that's not a suspensible offense. He was scuffling with him on the ground.
Hold on,
he was scuffling with him on the ground. He got tackled late. You talked about it. I agree with that.
I cannot hear what you're saying, Bryce.
Gotcha, Professor. Please give me 1 second. Bryce, you know better than that. And let me tell you what you know better than. First of all, my thing is this. A tussle is one thing. You try to rip a dude's helmet off. Where they do that at? You understand? Come on, man.
You're trying to rip his helmet off? Like, now Garrett ripped his off? After the first, Bryce, you see that? Don't play that game.
Those things are not even close to equivalent. To guys stuck and grabbing on the ground, to a guy who was already halfway up off the ground, grabbing his helmet and ripping it off.
Hey, this is what this is. This is what this is in a nutshell. Mason Rudolph got hit, according to the Steelers faithful all around the globe, especially the ones that choose to be blind when the person is wearing their team's uniform. They believe that
that's untrue. Like what you're saying is not true. That's
okay,
conjecture
okay,
once again.
Bryce,
that's not
Bryce,
true.
Bryce, let me finish.
Go ahead.
Because, see, this time, just for you, I'm going to stay on topic. For the people that are fans of the Steelers, they will all claim the ball is long gone. So, again, I'm going to tell you what I told you earlier. Get a stopwatch, look at the replay, and the minute that the ball is released, click the stopwatch to start it. The minute that Myles Garrett makes contact with him, click the stopwatch to stop it. And tell me if there's even a full second between the two things happening. And there is. So, Bryce,
okay.
I've already done it, and I can tell
okay.
you that it isn't.
Okay, got you. Okay.
So just stop there.
You're going to agree not, and you're going to agree
not.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're uninvited from the cookout. You're not coming.
Okay, you know what? I got my own cookout.
Plenty of people there. Trust me. Like, the ribs is good over here.
Hey, man, look, let me tell you this. At the end of the day, like I said before, I'm going to even give you that he hit him late. Okay, you got that. That still does not glory.
But that's not even what the flag was for. The flag wasn't for the hit. The flag was because he took him to the ground.
Right, okay. That's fine. I don't give a fuck if he drove it or not. That means nothing to me. Even though he should have got a flag, I'm going to give you that too. But what all my problem is once he was on the ground, there was no reason why. And I'm not talking in fucking circles. I'm going to say it again. And for you to tell me, well, Myles Garrett did the same thing? No, Myles Garrett, when he was on the ground, he didn't go after Mason Rudolph's helmet to take the shit off. You know why he did it? Because when Mason Rudolph tried to take his shit off, he looked at him and said, oh, that's what the fuck were you doing?
And why did Mason Rudolph start scuffling with him? Why did he start that? Because he tackled him late and it was unnecessary. He got mad about it.
But Bryce, you mean to tell me if somebody drives you to the fucking ground and you're a football player, you're going to go after it to take their helmet off?
You might scuffle with them on the ground and they're on top of you. Yes, you might. We've seen people get into scuffles like that. That's not out of the ordinary. You three are sitting there acting like that's some great revelation.
I got a question.
I just got one question.
Myles Garrett was not on top of him.
They were laying down.
I just have a question.
He wasn't on top of him. Now who doesn't see what the rest of the world sees?
I got one question for Bryce.
You need help, my brother.
I got one question for Bryce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bryce, have you ever played organized football on the defensive line?
Yes, high school and college. I was a tight end blocked with offensive linemen for a lot of years, which is why Matt Filer had his hands
up. There you go. Everybody heard it. Everybody heard it. See, I just proved my point. I told you he can't hear or see.
Okay, so what is the point now? I know you've been here before. What am I not hearing?
I said, Bryce, have you ever played organized football on the defensive line? And you said, yes, I played high school and college tight end.
No, I've not played defensive line. I played outside linebacker in high school. Okay. I played on the offensive line at the tight end position. Go ahead.
My point is this. You still haven't heard shit, and that's why we can't continue the debate.
What am I not hearing?
I said one thing to you. Have you, Bryce, ever played organized football on the
defensive line? Did I not answer that question? I answered that question already. What is the point?
And you answered it
incorrectly. Answer that question.
Because you have never played
organized
football.
I said I played outside linebacker. No, I did not play defensive end.
Right. But that's what he's asking.
And I said I played offensive line tight end.
All you're doing is proving two points. One, you have never been in Myles Garrett position. And two, you clearly haven't heard what he said.
I blocked plenty of people that played Myles Garrett's position.
I've been on the offensive line. I'm in the line. I'm in the trenches, which is why I understand why Tyler turned around and was like, where is the flag?
No.
There's a difference between blocking them and being them.
That's what he's just saying, Bryce. You never played the That's what he's saying. He's saying that you don't know what you're talking about. He said you play the end. There's a difference between playing the end and tight end. That's what he's saying. And that's
G, so let me get it straight. G, and I don't know. G, have you and the professor played defensive end? Was that your position?
No, I have not. And once again,
okay, so you haven't played either.
Bryce, I'm talking in circles. But Bryce, I just told you. I said, let's just say that he did drive him late. I conceded to you on that. I gave you that.
Okay, G, so, but this point that I didn't play defensive end is silly.
For the millionth time, is this. Whether he did it right or wrong, what I'm saying to you is I've never seen a football player, when they're out on the down on the ground, they stumble, and they scuffle with their helmets on. That's what they do. You see football players hit players in the face with a helmet. They know that.
G, I've seen it hundreds of times, G. That's just not stopping. That may be your experience. That's not mine.
Okay, but I tell you,
I've seen that hundreds of times.
Okay, check this out. What I'm saying is this. At the end of the day, you took your position. There's a reason why Mr. Rudolph went to try to take off this motherfucking helmet. For what reason? I don't know. For the reason. And what I'm saying to you is that
I tell you the reason, because he got tackled late and was mad about it. But you conceded.
Okay. Now let me stop you there. He tried to take his helmet off because he got tackled to the ground. That's what you're saying.
He got into a scuffle with him where he grabbed him around the back and started grabbing him and all that stuff.
Okay. So he tried to grab him to take his helmet off because he got driven to the ground. Now, when you tried to take his helmet off, what do you think Mason Rudolph's next step was going to be? Now, I'm going to tell you what I think. If he had
tried to take it off, why didn't Myles Garrett step off then? If that's your point, why didn't he step off?
My question to you is very simple. Is this. If Mason Rudolph was successful to grab Myles Garrett's helmet off, what do you think that he could have done? Sat there and talked to him? No. I think... And like I said, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, Bryce, so I don't want to hear you don't know that.
Right.
But I don't think that he's going to take his helmet off to talk to him. I think he's going to take his helmet off to knock him upside his fucking head because he got...
Wait, Mason Rudolph to knock him out?
Yes. Because you said he got dropped in the ground.
G, again, that's not factual, G. That's just conjecture. I thought he was going to try to knock him out.
Stop it, G.
That is a reach.
That's a reach
along with, well, you didn't play defensive end. And that's a reach.
The fact is, we know what we saw.
This is the problem with society as a whole. We got too much anti-fashion alternative narrative. What we saw on that screen, you just admitted. He tackled him late and started a scuffle, which caused him to use his helmet.
Okay, that's fine. That's cool. Like I said, you keep going back to the tackle. Wait, and I gave you that. Why you keep trying to shove that down my throat?
That's how it started.
Those are the facts. Hey. Hey.
But they didn't change no matter how we go in the circle.
Hey. Okay. I think there's a little bit of confusion because of the wording in everybody's statement.
You know, fucking confusion
okay.
on mine.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Myles Garrett did not hit Mason Rudolph late. The flag wasn't for the hit. The flag was for the continuation of the tackle. Now, we've already explained to you that during the course of this tackle, Myles Garrett doesn't know that the ball is gone, Bryce. He's like, you're taking specific known facts.
That doesn't matter.
If he knows the ball is gone.
It's still late.
So not done.
Mason Rudolph
I'm
doesn't
so
know that he doesn't
done.
Know the ball is gone.
I am not done. Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Go ahead.
Now, the same way I don't necessarily know that he knows doesn't know that the ball's going, you don't know that he does know it's going. Now let's start safe.
Okay. And.
All right now. Then let's move on from that. Now once he hits the ground, okay, you're going to get a penalty because you took him to the ground. Not because you power-drive them to the ground. So let's stop making
No one said that. You're repeating something nobody said.
I did not say you did. Stop trying to be so quick to jump on the defense.
I know, but yet you keep bringing it up like this is the narrative. It's not.
If you're right, if you're right, you don't have nothing to defend, right? So just listen for a minute. Now, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you're going to get a penalty when you get on the ground, Miles Mason Rudolph, yeah, he started snatching at Miles Garrett's helmet. He started to snatch at the man's helmet. We're not getting ready to glaze over that, Bryce. You need to be interested in glazing. No, no, no.
Who glazed over it?
You need to be interested.
I've been saying it.
You seem to be interested in glazing over that point.
I'm speaking very clear English about what I said. I've not glazed over it. Again, that's a narrative.
What you got, okay, I don't know why you keep trying to talk when I'm talking. What you said was really irrelevant. You said what you said because Mason Rudolph is wearing a Steelers uniform. Is the point that I'm making.
Oh, Lord.
I don't give a fuck. Sorry, because now I'm going to tell you what you probably don't know. There
that makes
are
no sense.
Of,
that
there
makes
are
no
a
sense.
Of other NFL players that have come to the defense of Myles Garrett.
And there are a plethora of people, players, pundits, former players that say he should be suspended for the year and he was wrong. What is your point?
Okay, look.
Y'all are talking in circles about the issue.
No, we're not talking in circles.
You definitely are.
I'm trying to go in a straight line. Stop jumping off on exit 32. Stay on the damn interstate.
You can't stay on the interstate. You all over the place. I'm bringing you back to the point.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. This shit is turning into a fucking circus.
Yeah, and you're the head ringmaster, the professor, Professor Ringmaster.
Hey, Coach Gary Ward, you know what I just realized? I think what we just heard is every time Bryce speaks, what I hear Bryce doing is probably exactly what Mason Rudolph was doing all game to Myles Garrett. Running his fucking mouth, not making any goddamn sense, and then suffering
the
consequence
right?
of his actions.
I'm not saying Myles Garrett was he wrong? He most certainly was.
Goddamn right.
He deserved to be suspended for the remainder of the season.
Yes.
He most certainly does. But I got news for you, Bryce. That if you shoot somebody, but I gave you the bullet, both my black asses is going to jail.
Yeah, but he didn't give him the bullet, so that doesn't make any sense.
No,
he ain't going to get suspended, so
no,
this will be null and void.
No. He should be suspended for at least one game because not suspended.
No, he shouldn't, and he's not. That's the funny part. He won't be because he didn't instigate anything.
That's my goddamn point.
He's taking all day. It's like taking 15 minutes to make a point.
Right. Let me finish my point, bro.
Right.
Not
mm-hmm.
suspending him tells every other quarterback in the league that attempts to do what Mason Rudolph did to Myles Garrett. It tells them that shit is okay. That's what it does. You may not like it, but that's what the truth is. I know Mason Rudolph is a Pittsburgh Steeler, and he's your boy. Because if the shit had happened to if the shit had happened to Lamar Jackson, you would not give a fuck. You wouldn't give a fuck.
Is that the crux of your point? Is that the crux of your point?
Because it happened to Mason Rudolph, Big Ben's surrogate son, the world of Steelers Nation is up in goddamn arms. And I'm telling you, your favorite white boy was wrong.
When you have no facts to make a point, this is when you must create a conspiracy theory. Where you sit
there?
You must say, it's because you're a Steelers fan. Or is this? I got the actual facts, bro. And G has already said it. He tackled him late. That is what started the whole thing.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate you, Bryce.
We are the conspiracy theorists, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. Because at the end of the day, like I said before, and this is the bottom line, because I'm about to stop the show. And like I said, we still love you. But at the end of the day, we just don't agree with your ass. But this is the thing.
Everyone gets the right to be wrong. It's cool.
The thing is this. This is this. And this is the narrative. Like you call us conspiracy theorists. This is what the NFL does. Okay? And at the end of the day, I could care less what you look like, where you come from, the whole nine. I'm just so sick and tired of people who they do one thing. It's like, okay, for example, Mason Rudolph is not an angel, and the world is treating him like studs.
No,
that's the issue that we have. Now, like I said, was he as egregious as Myles Garrett? No, he was not. I'm going to say it again. Was he as egregious of what he did, you know, with getting hit with the helmet? No, he was not. So, that puts your boy in a different category. What we're saying is don't sit here and act like Myles Garrett is the end-all, be-all of bad bullshit and Mason Rudolph did nothing. And that's the way
that
the fans...
G,
like
I'm glad you said that, because now we can come back full circle. I have already said Mason Rudolph kept it going. I didn't call him an angel. And I already said I'm sensitive to the fact people want to shine some light on how he kept it going. I have no issue with that. I just said he does not deserve to be suspended because his foul, like you said, was not nearly as egregious as Myles Garrett was. And that's why I said penalty thing with those games. So I already made the point, so it can't be about, well, you are still a fan. I already said this.
Pouncey needs to be suspended.
Okay, yeah, he does. But you know what's so funny, though, Bryce? When you're in high school, right, or you're in school, I'm pretty sure you got a couple of scuffles. You probably got into a fight or so. You know what I mean? I know I did in high school. But you know what happens when two students are in a fight? Even the one that didn't start it, his ass still gets suspended. He might not get suspended as long as the aggressor, but his ass still gets suspended nonetheless. The other person, you know why?
Not if his name is Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, but you know what the issue is? Mason Rudolph in that equation, he didn't get into a quote-unquote fight, my dude. He didn't throw punches. He didn't kick anybody. Well, no, they're not going to suspend him. They're not going to do it. The reason why I say Pouncey shouldn't get suspended is because I think Pouncey just blacked out because he threw a quarterback get hit in the head with a helmet.
Garrett in the nuts. He kicked him in the nuts.
While they were struggling on the ground to get him off of him.
He's struggling on the ground.
That's what we see. That's what it was on the film. The film don't lie.
He's struggling to get
him. So you're not
going to
tell me what I with my eyes see. I'm looking right at it.
He was struggling to get up off the ground from under Myles Garrett because he tried him and found out he was about to get his ass whipped. That's why.
He was on the ground because he got tackled late. You're not going to conspiracy theory your way out of this narrative. No, that's not what happened. To say anything else is anti-facts.
Gotcha.
It's not factual. It's fun to argue about, but it ain't factual.
Hey, that's cool. We got to get up out of here,
hey,
man.
They lost 21-7 to the Browns.
Now, that's factual. They sure did. But I don't want to hear that from you because you don't have a team. So when I know who your team is, I can talk about them, then we can go there.
Okay, check this out, gentlemen. You got to get up out of here. Make sure you tune in this Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Locker Room Talk Radio. This is our man, Bryce from Brooklyn. And I want to thank
love
my
y'all,
parents.
Fellas. Love y'all. Love talking this with y'all.
My man. We're going to go ahead
and
get
Mason
up out of
Rudolph,
here.
Hey, Mason Rudolph, thank you for joining the show, baby. Appreciate it.
I want to thank my man, Professor X Factor, my man, Executive Chef, Q Drake, for on the mic. This is Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, signing off. And remember, it's never goodbye. It's always see you later. Peace.
That was Gary.